Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, the end of the week is here. It is Friday, or as I like to say, Fry-yay. I know it's cold and rainy, a bit gloomy outside, but hey, at least it's Friday, okay? You've made it. And we've got a great hour of current sports coming your way. A lot to get to. We've got some game previews. The biggest one, of course, being Michigan State and Wisconsin, as Michigan State will try and get out of the doghouse after what happened last weekend in Columbus, Ohio, against the Ohio State Buckeyes. Michigan State, though, it won't be easy because they will now travel on the road to play the Wisconsin Badgers, a team that is very dangerous, a team that dons arguably the best running back in college football in Mr. Jonathan Taylor. This will not be an easy game for Michigan State. Tough part of the schedule right here. My goodness. So we'll talk about the chances that the Spartans can pull out that win in Madison, Wisconsin tomorrow afternoon. Also, I guess we can call it like a feature Friday because, you know, I've been working on this interview trying to get her on all week after hearing of her story through a direct contact of mine. I said, oh, yeah, she's got to be on Current Sports. Her name is Kate Knott. And she recently became the youngest American woman to become a world champion in weightlifting at the tender age of just 20. Absolutely amazing. If you want to check out her social media Instagram page, just to show you how big of a following she is gaining now. And she is an Olympic hopeful as well. Hopefully she will be competing in Tokyo in the 2020 Olympic Games. But you can follow her on her Instagram of Catherine with two E's, Nye. And it's pretty amazing what she's doing. Pretty amazing stuff. So we'll talk about this incredible feat that was accomplished not too long ago for Kate Nye. You don't want to miss that interview. And then on the back end of the show, that's when I'll address the Michigan Wolverines, who also have a game tomorrow, as they will hit the road to take on the Fighting Illini out in Illinois. And we'll have Reflection Friday for you guys. All right? So a lot to get to. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. You can watch the live stream there and comment below that video, and you can tweet me at Al Martin WKAR or tweet the show at WKAR News. Jack Kerwin is the man behind the glass for this Friday edition of the show. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, as I already mentioned, you guys know that Michigan State will hit the road to take on the Wisconsin Badgers. Wisconsin right now ranked as the number 8 team in the country. That game will take place at 3:30 p.m. in Madison as the Spartans are trying to get back on a winning track after losing at Ohio State on the road last weekend. And also the Michigan Wolverines traveling to Illinois, so both Michigan and Michigan State on the road tomorrow as the Wolverines will take on the Fighting Illini of Illinois. That will be a noon kickoff for the Wolverines, who are ranked 16th in the country right now. I think that's a bit of a fluke. I think we all do, but still ranked. Michigan State is not. Okay, Ariel Powers, a big shout out to Ariel Powers. I saw the tributes just flowing in last night after Powers accomplished this feat in her respective basketball career. She's one of my favorite players that I've ever covered here in East Lansing. And it's funny because last week, it just shows you how in tune she is with people on social media. She hasn't forgot about the little people because she's a big video game person. And she's been playing, there's a really popular video game called Apex Legends that's just like taken over now. It's like the new Fortnite, I guess. But she's always on that thing, and she's posting videos and has been like certified as a certified gamer online. So she's always posting video game videos on there. And I just message like, oh, this is so cool. And she replied to me like, yeah, I play all the time, Al. Here's my gamer tag. So she's just an awesome human being and a really good basketball player. One of the most popular basketball players in Michigan State women's basketball history. And now the former Spartan All-American. She can call herself a WNBA champion. When the Washington Mystics stopped the Connecticut Sun yesterday, 89-78 out in Washington, D.C., in a deciding Game 5, Powers becomes the second Spartan to win a WNBA championship after current MSU assistant coach Kristen Haney won a title with the Sacramento Monarchs back in 2005. After dropping Game 4, the series returned to Washington for the final game of the championship. Powers scored a playoff-high 15 points in Game 4. In Game 5, Emma Messiman scored 22 points, and Elena Deladon added 21 to help the Washington Mystics beat the Connecticut Sun in the winner-take-all Game 5 of the finals. So congratulations to Ariel Powers. I saw her former head coach here at Michigan State, Susie Merchant, with a nice tribute to Ariel Powers on her Instagram page. I believe Susie Merchant was there in person to witness that game. So, very cool stuff. All right, Michigan State hockey begins its 79th season this weekend when the Spartans travel to Northern Michigan to meet the Wildcats today and Saturday. Michigan State beat Western Ontario in an exhibition game on Monday 6-1 at Munn Ice Arena. As six different players scored, MSU outshot the Mustangs 55-22 for the game. So Michigan State and Northern Michigan will be getting it on in a weekend set. And I believe tonight's game, see if I can dig up the start time, the puck drop start time for that game tonight. That will take place at 7 p.m. 7 p.m. tonight at Northern Michigan. Okay. Moving right along here, I want to let you guys know about the Michigan State men's soccer team as they will play host to Maryland tonight, returning home to face number 25 Maryland at 6:30 p.m. at DeMartin Stadium. The game will be televised on the Big Ten Network, and the Spartans are looking for back-to-back wins after a dramatic overtime 2-1 win against Wisconsin on October 6th. Out in Madison. So Michigan State and Maryland men's soccer tonight, 6:30 at DeMartin Stadium. Michigan State improves to 2-6-2 overall and 2-1-0 in Big Ten action after the win against the Badgers. Maryland is 6-3-1 overall, 1-0-1 in league contest, and have won two straight games. The Terps are the fourth-ranked team that Michigan State has faced this season, along with number 13 Washington, number 20 Notre Dame, and number 22 Rutgers. The Spartans are 1-2 against ranked teams this season. When it comes to the Michigan State women's soccer team, they will take the road for the last time during the regular season with two matches in Illinois. MSU will travel to Northwestern tonight for a Friday night matchup in Evanston, 8 p.m. start time. The team will close out its road schedule at Illinois on Sunday at 2 p.m. Michigan State, currently sits at 8-4-1 on the season with a 1-3-1 mark in Big Ten play. Both games this week will be streamed online courtesy of BTN Plus. And MSU field hockey, a very, very busy weekend for Michigan State sports. Michigan State field hockey returns to action this weekend. They take on Ohio and Wake Forest today and Sunday, respectively. Spartans welcome the Bobcats to Ralph Young Field for a 3 p.m. matchup before hitting the road to take on number 20, Wake Forest, on Sunday in Winston-Salem. And also, the Michigan State women's volleyball team is in action at Nebraska as Kathy George and her team continues the challenging start to the Big Ten season with matches at number 5, Nebraska, today, and also Iowa on Sunday. The Spartans are completing a stretch of 5 of 6 Big Ten matches on the road and 8 of 9 matches overall away from the friendly confines of Jenison Fieldhouse. MSU has gone 5-2 through the first 7 matches of the swing. All right, to some pro news now. The Detroit Red Wings got a 4-2 win over the Montreal Canadiens yesterday. The Wings improved to 3-1-0 in the year. Montreal falls to 1-1-2 on the season. The Detroit Pistons will be in action tonight at Little Caesars Arena. NBA preseason action as the Pistons will play host to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And also an MLB playoff update for you guys. Yesterday, we saw the Houston Astros top the Tampa Bay Rays 6-1 as Houston wins that series 3-2, and they will now move on. We now have just 4 teams remaining in the Major League Baseball playoffs. You gotta love it, folks. The New York Yankees will take on Houston. And then on the other end in the National League, you have St. Louis taking on Washington. And then there were 4. Exciting stuff, folks. Exciting stuff. And when it comes to these games, I want to let you guys know that Washington, game one between Washington and St. Louis in the National League, NLCS, will take place tonight at 8 p.m. at Busch Stadium. You can catch that one on TBS. And tomorrow, game one of the ALCS between Houston and the New York Yankees, that will take place at 8 p.m. tomorrow. You can catch that one on Fox at Minute Maid Park. Ah, gotta love it. Gotta love baseball around this time of the year, folks. That does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in to be a part of the hour, our phone lines are open. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. You can watch the live stream there and comment below that video, just like many of you are already doing. Ben, Chris, Steven, Marcel. I see many of you guys tuned in courtesy of the Facebook live stream. Love that. Also, you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News.
It wasn't a torn or anything, it was just a little bow, and I do. I manage their minutes. I'm trying not to learn from the NBA, though. I don't want to be into, load management. Yeah. You know, Magic and Isaiah last week didn't like load management. They said, let's just go play. And but I was happy that Cassius is—he really is working on his defense a lot harder. His legs and his body's a lot better. His legs are a lot stronger. Some of the things he needed to do, I think he did a pretty good job so far.
Folks, just a quick update when it comes to Michigan State men's basketball, as Tom Izzo and select players were made available to the media yesterday at the Breslin Center. MSU basketball right around the corner, and I know many of you are excited about what's going to be happening later on this month on October 25th around 8 p.m. MSU Madness will take place at the Brez. I'll be rocking the mic for what will be, I believe, year four as your MC of MSU Madness. Always fun stuff. I love doing it. It's great. And it suits my personality. You know, I can just kind of just be wild and crazy. That's who I am at home, all right? And here on the air. Not too crazy, though. Got to keep it pro. One score update I did not put in the headliners. Thursday night football did take place last night. A really windy and cold game out in Boston. But the Patriots, they get the dub over the New York Giants, 35-14, folks. And I saw on social media people panicking like, oh my goodness, the Giants are giving the Pats a run for their money. Chill. The final score, 35-14. Tom Brady added a late touchdown before they went into halftime, and then two more touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Shout out to Golden Tate, though. That was a nice connection from Daniel Jones to Golden Tate, the former Detroit Lion, early on in that game. That was a fun touchdown to watch, Golden Tate being the veteran that he is. That's awesome, awesome stuff. But at the end of the day, the Patriots win. They move to 6-0 on the season. But you know, the dialogue is interesting. I'm hearing the dialogue this morning. Oh, what's wrong with the New England Patriots offense? What's wrong with Tom Brady? Is he showing his age right now? First off, chill. I mean, do you understand the conditions that we saw last night? I watched that game, the majority of it, and 30-mile-per-hour winds? Come on, man. Could Tom have been more accurate on certain throws? Yeah, but we're talking about 30-mile-per-hour winds. And not to mention, this offense is pretty beaten up. Injuries at the wide receiver position, injuries at the offensive line, and still the Patriots sit at 6-0. Until I don't see the Patriots go to the Super Bowl, I'm still a believer. I think they'll be right there again. I don't know. This team is just still, it's Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. This is what they do, man. So I'm not, and you know, it was funny too, because I saw Julian Edelman. I was really honed in on that game, to be honest with you guys, because I have Julian Edelman starting on my fantasy football team. So I was like, come on, man, you got to hit Edelman. Hit Edelman, Brady, what are you doing? And he didn't connect with Edelman, really didn't connect with Edelman until like the second half. But there was a moment where Tom, he like threw it in back of Edelman and missed him on a few throws, and Edelman came back to the huddle like looking at Tom, and they were kind of going back and forth. I like that. I like that. And I like how some players, you know, you go at the goat a bit. Edelman can do that. He reserves the right to do that because he's such an awesome player, and they've got that chemistry. You know, after when Tom hit him on that bomb, and they, you know, I believe Tom Brady ran it in for that touchdown. They had a little chuckle on the bench and were just, you know, chopping it up. But they're competitors. I love that. But the Patriots are still the Patriots, folks. Take a chill pill. You try throwing in 30-mile-per-hour winds. Those conditions were ugly. By the way, shout out to Chase Winovich,
the former Michigan Wolverine. He got a touchdown yesterday on a blocked punt. And if you look at that video in the first half of Chase trying to get under the football, I believe the crew during the half with Terry Bradshaw, Michael Strahan, Howie Long, also congratulations, Rob Gronkowski. He is an official member of the Fox NFL analyst team now. He made his debut yesterday. And he's thinking about maybe, he's still leaving the door open that he would come back. Terry Bradshaw asked him that on the broadcast last night. He said, yeah, the door is still open. The door is still open. But Gronk is a character, man. I really believe he could probably go into the WWE if he wanted to, man. I think he'll be like a perfect fit there with his
Ryan Gronkowski.
So, oh, you just had that. You were waiting on that. You were waiting on that, huh, Jackie? That's when
Ryan Gronkowski.
That's when I messed up Rob Gronkowski's name, one current sports show. But, yeah, Gronk, I'm still chuckling about that. That was pretty funny. Hey, it happens. It happens. Well, you thought that Brett Maher was supposed to be.
Earlier this week, guilty as charged. Yeah. I don't even know where that came from. That
you
was
thought,
crazy.
You thought it was Bill Maher.
That was a tough look on the air Tuesday show or Monday show or whenever that was.
We're human, man. But it was cool seeing Gronk on the broadcast. But they noted just how windy it was because you saw Chase Winovich struggling to get under the football. He didn't know which way it was going to go. And then he did get fined because you can't just throw the football in the stands. So it looks like Chase Winovich is going to get fined $7,000.
Wait, you can't?
Nope.
Since when? Guys have done that for years. Since when? Is that new?
I don't know if it's new, but yeah, I saw the news break this morning that Chase Winovich is going to be fined a little over $7,000. He's a first-time offender of doing that.
So you can't,
second time it doubles, so it's $14,000 the next time you do it.
So you just can't throw the ball into the stands. Didn't Aaron Jones do it in the Cowboys Packers game this week too, though?
If he did, he probably is going to get fined.
Okay.
So yeah, it's not, you can't do that. So yeah, I didn't even notice that he chucked it in the stands until they showed the replay of his celebration. I'm like, oh yeah, he did chuck it in the stands. But Chase, I forgot that Chase Winovich was even on the New England Patriots team. So cool moment for him. And also, one more update for you guys. Can you believe that it is week 7 of the high school football season? Are you kidding me? As we get closer and closer, we're really close now. I mean, you're probably sitting there saying, we're already close. But as we get closer and closer to the end of the regular season in high school football, we're going to be dedicating some time and having on some guests that cover local high school football here in the area to give us a rundown every week as to what the playoff pitcher is looking at, which teams maybe have a legit shot at going all the way to Ford Field around Thanksgiving to compete for a state championship. But week 7, folks, and a few key games happening tonight. St. John's at Fowlerville, Grand Ledge at DeWitt, Olivet at Lakewood, Williamston at Mason, Waverly at Holt, Pomona Westphalia at Dansville, Charlotte at Eaton Rapids, Stockbridge at Perry, Ionia at Portland, Lansing Sexton at Lansing Catholic. Big games. Those are big games. Fowlerville and Lansing Catholic are among the teams that can secure an automatic spot in the playoffs with a victory tonight, while Mason, Olivet, and Portland have shots at securing outright league championships. So shout out to Brian Calloway. He put that in today's Lansing State Journal when he has a great write-up previewing tonight's action in week 7. And I do believe, though, I'm hoping that there's no lightning in the area. I know it's raining. Rain is expected throughout pretty much the entire day. As long as there's no lightning, these games will get done. We don't want to see happen what occurred earlier on this year in high school football. So that's a bit of the action that's happening tonight in high school football. But Jack, real quick, you just heard Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo, in that introduction, he addressed Cassius Winston, who had a minor injury a few weeks ago, but he looks to be full go. He looked to be okay. And he also, I didn't know this, but Thomas Kithier has been dealing with an Achilles injury, and he sat out.
He wasn't practicing yesterday.
He didn't practice yesterday.
He was on the treadmill.
He was on the
stationary bike, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I know they held him out. Well, Tom Izzo said that they held him out the prior two practices before yesterday because they didn't want to aggravate the Achilles injury. Any other big news that you heard when you were there? Because you were there at practice putting together you'll be having a piece that you're putting together. But any big news that came out of yesterday?
No, not a whole lot. What stuck out to me is, and this is good for you because you can get back on his hype train, is that Foster Lawyers put on about 20 pounds according to Izzo, and he looks much more prepared to play at the collegiate level this year. And then Rocket Watts was running at the two guard a little bit with Cassius, because maybe that was just because Josh Langford was not at practice yesterday, so that might have had something to do with it. But
why wasn't Josh there?
I'm not entirely sure. He okay. might still be dealing with something regarding his ankle as well. I don't know for sure.
Not good.
But
okay.
I guess they just want a little bit more depth there with McQuaid out the door, obviously. So yeah, they've been experimenting with Rocket at the two guard a little bit. So those were kind of the big items of note yesterday.
That's the big thing. You just don't, because the injury bug has bitten Michigan State in recent years, and this team is so talented. You just don't want to see key guys injured. So, and Izzo addressed that. I mean, he was asked. I don't know who asked him the question. I think maybe it was Chris Solari. But yeah, I think it was Chris who posed the question. Hey, are you going to be really looking at the minutes here and looking at limiting certain guys so that they're not worn down as the season goes along? And that is something. And I will say this in defense of Foster Lawyer, I always bring this up when looking at and evaluating last season, Jack. The fact that Foster Lawyer didn't play when Michigan State was blowing out those early teams at the beginning of the year when they had some lollipops. Foster Lawyer didn't get a lot of minutes. I mean, those are valuable minutes just from an experience standpoint of just being out there, playing the game, and just feeling comfortable on a basketball court. He got thrown into the fire. He didn't play a lot of minutes early, but he got thrown into the fire later on in the year, and he looked like a deer in the headlights. And that was a big problem, I thought, last year. So if Tom Izzo can get some of these young guys, especially from the guard perspective, to get Cassius some rest, get Josh some rest, especially if he wasn't at practice yesterday and is still maybe dealing with this minor injury of his now, because I think he's relatively healthy. Tom Izzo is just being extremely cautious right now, I believe. But get some of those young pups some minutes so that when you need them in the real thick of the Big Ten schedule and come March Madness time, they're not sitting there like, oh, what do I do? You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I think with Foster Lawyer, to be honest with you, I don't know if it would have mattered if they would have given him a lot of minutes early, just because for me it was a physical maturity standpoint. I mean, he's 5'11 or whatever it is. He wasn't ready to play college basketball last season, I don't think, regardless. But no, I absolutely agree with you. And it's a different story with Rocket Watts. Rocket Watts is 6'3", 6'4", something like that. You know, physically, he is absolutely ready to play at the college level. So even if he doesn't wind up starting at the two guard this year, because I expect Josh Langford will be back, it would be important to get him into games early so that, you know, come tournament time, Cassius Winston isn't being relied on to play 33, 35 minutes a night.
Very, very true. I'm with you on that. So, and so Foster has put on, you said 15 pounds?
I think Izzo said 20 pounds. Yeah.
Oh, 20 of muscle. This isn't like Twinkie.
No. He looks physically matured. Yeah.
Awesome. That's awesome stuff. All right, Foster, let's see if he gets the job done. Okay, what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to take our break right now. I know you guys are probably, saying, Al, you got to give us that MSU football prediction, Wisconsin. I'm going to do that. But because we're up against this first break right now, and we do have a Feature Friday interview scheduled, I'm going to hit our first break right now. We'll talk MSU and Michigan football later on this hour, but I really want to welcome to the show Kate Nye, who just became the youngest American woman to become a world champion in weightlifting. You don't want to miss this chat. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. You know, in just a moment, we are going to welcome to the show Kate Nye, who is a 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games hopeful after just becoming the youngest American woman to become a world champion in weightlifting at the age of 20. I do have some other Olympic news for you guys. You all know the name Simone Biles, right? I mean, Simone Biles, I call her the Michael Jordan of gymnastics. She is the greatest to ever do it. And if there was any debate, it's pretty much solidified after what happened yesterday out in Germany. As Simone Biles won her fifth all-around title at the Gymnastics World Championships on Thursday, underlying her status as the clear favorite for next year's Olympic gold medal. Amazing stuff. Biles scored 58.999 points to finish 2.1 points ahead of the runner-up, who was entered as a late replacement for a teammate, actually. Tang Zhang was her name. So Biles just continues to rip it up. I saw that headline come across my Facebook feed this morning. Absolutely amazing. I'm really looking forward to seeing Simone Biles in Tokyo in 2020. All right, right now, let's get to our guest, who is an Olympic hopeful, as I've been mentioning throughout the hour here. You know, when I got this email in my inbox, I said I got to have her on Current Sports because this is an incredible accomplishment, and it's just a different sports story. You know, around this time of the year, you know, we hit you with a lot of football, college football, NFL football. You know, college basketball will be ramping up. Well, the NBA is right around the corner. But it's rare when you get a chance to talk about a sport like weightlifting. So, I looked at my email inbox not too long ago, and I saw this story, the story of Michigan native Kate Nye, who just became the youngest American to become a world champion in the sport of weightlifting. She is 20 years old, and she joins us now on line one. Kate, first off, welcome to Current Sports. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I am fantastic. I want to start here, Kate. First off, what part of Michigan are you from?
I currently am actually moving to Berkeley, but I grew up in Rochester for the most part.
Okay, you grew up in Rochester. And when did your interest in weightlifting begin and how?
In about 2015, 2016, I was doing CrossFit, and like through CrossFit, I found weightlifting. So, that's kind of when I started, gaining an interest in weightlifting.
So CrossFit was kind of the introduction. Was there a particular person that introduced you to CrossFit then, or was it just kind of something you just stumbled upon?
Well, I was a gymnast for 11 years, so after I quit, I needed to find something to do. So me and my old gymnastics friend decided to do some CrossFit classes together. And actually, at the CrossFit gym I was at, my now weightlifting coach, he's the one that encouraged me to try weightlifting full-time.
Wow, that's awesome stuff. Now, I always say to go from something that's just an interest to something that develops into a drive to compete across the world, there has to be like a switch that goes off at some point. I'm wondering, Kate, what was that something for you that clicked that lets you know that you're pretty good at this and you've got a passion for weightlifting?
Yeah, so I was doing CrossFit and weightlifting together for a long time, and I qualified for youth nationals in weightlifting, and I was just going for fun. I had no intentions of quitting CrossFit or anything like that, but I went to youth nationals in 2016, and I placed third, and that's kind of when I realized that I was much more talented at weightlifting, and I wanted to give it a shot full-time.
What do you love the most about weightlifting, especially in comparison to CrossFit, something that you did enjoy?
I honestly just love lifting. I mean, it's just a great feeling to be strong and powerful. And weightlifting is more than just, like brute strength. You know, it's a lot of mobility. It's coordination. It's power. It's technique work, you know. So there's just so much to it, and there's so much to perfect and work on, and I love that part about it.
Who are some of your inspirations within the sport or even beyond? Do you have professional weightlifters that you look up to, or any celebrities maybe? Who are your inspirations when it comes to this sport?
There's some like international weightlifters. There's a super heavyweight man from Georgia, the country Georgia, not the state Georgia, but he's incredible. It's awesome to lift at the same time he is, because he's lifting the most weight ever lifted, you know, all time. So it's really cool to be in the same era he is and watching him literally, you know, do things that no one has ever done before. So that's really cool. I like him, and there's a few other girls that I do look up to. But actually, it's funny you were just talking about Simone Biles. I mean, I was, like I said, I was a gymnast for a really long time. So her, you know, her ability to just break barriers and make history all the time, that's very inspirational to me as well.
And that is something that you are doing within the sport of weightlifting, which I'm going to get to in just a moment, because it's quite remarkable what occurred for you out in Thailand not too long ago. But before I get to that, Kate, what is your training regimen like? I mean, can you just kind of take me into a day of a world-class weightlifter like you? And what's the toughest part of that daily training regimen?
So I train 6 days a week, one rest day, and then 8 training sessions. So I have 2 2-a-days. Sessions are about 2 to 3 hours. So when I have 2 a-days, I'm spending about 6 hours in the gym. So those are my tough days. So a day like that, I wake up, have breakfast, and then go straight to the gym usually. Spend a few hours there. And then when I come home, I basically eat lunch, maybe do some recovery. Like I have like rapid reboots that they're basically pants that blow up and they help your legs recover. They're kind of cool. or like TENS units or something like that. And then I usually go back to the gym within like 3-4 hours and get another session in, dinner, more recovery, go to bed. So like days like that, they're really hard. But the toughest part I'd say is just like, you know, I do a lot of squatting. And so like when I have a lot of squat volume, that can really take a toll on my body, and it's just hard to keep up with that sometimes, and you know, because it is so hard. So I would say that's the toughest part, just getting through, you know, the fatigue and all that. But
definitely. And for you, Kate, you know, as far as your diet, what does your diet consist of usually on a daily basis? Is there a certain amount of target calories you have to hit to make sure that you're maintaining a certain size so you can go out there and lift what you lift?
Well, usually, yes. And then I would use macronutrients to track what I'm eating. But right now I'm actually in a, you know, tricky situation because I need to gain weight to go into the Olympic weight class. Mm-hmm. So right now, I mean, I just make sure I'm eating enough protein. And then the rest, I kind of just eat by feel. And it's not really super clean, to be honest, because, you know, I don't think anyone gains a lot of weight eating chicken and rice all day. You know? So I just kind of feel like it's trying to get a lot of calories in so I can gain weight so I'm not the smallest person out there, you know. But, yeah, leading up to world championships, it was very, very strict. Down to the gram of, you know, carbs, protein, fats, and it was 100% clean, you know, lean protein, healthy fats, quality whole grain carbs. But right now, I'm just kind of doing what I got to do to get bigger.
Right. So how much do you weigh right now, and what do you need to hit? What's that target weight when it comes to trying to compete for the Olympic level?
I actually haven't weighed myself since Worlds, just because I don't know. I feel like it's really easy for weight class athletes to get kind of addicted to, like, the scale. Mm-hmm. So after I compete, I usually kind of try to put it away. But I competed around 150 pounds in the 71-kilo weight class. And my new weight class is about 165 pounds. So I probably have to have about 10 pounds to gain, taking away, like, I obviously cut for 71, so I'd say my true weight was around 155 the week before or whatever. Gotcha. So, yeah, about 10 more pounds to gain.
Okay, it's not too bad. All right, folks, if you're just now joining
us.
Yeah, exactly. That's not bad at all, I think. I mean, 10 pounds, yeah, it's doable. If you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are chatting with the youngest American woman to be world champion in weightlifting, Kate Nye, at 20 years old. Let's dive right into that accomplishment, or I should say accomplishments, Kate, because it was quite the performance that you put on. You competed in the 71K category, right, at the 2019 IWF World Weightlifting Championship in Thailand to become the youngest American woman. I keep saying that, youngest American woman to become a world champion in weightlifting. That's huge. Had this always been a goal of yours, Kate, or kind of just something that happened?
Well, winning the world championship was definitely on my mind, but I didn't even know I was the youngest until after I won. That's when I found out that I was the youngest ever, which is really cool, you know. Like, the USA has only had 5 world champions ever, including me. So it's actually really cool to be a part of that select group. I was just very humbled to be there. But yeah, you just kind of go into a competition and you have your personal goals, and it's pretty cool afterwards to see, you know, some extra history you might have made along the way. So yeah, it was just kind of a cool tidbit to learn about after I got off the platform.
So you're telling me, Kate, that you didn't know while competing all of the records and all of the accomplishments that you had set during that competition until after you got off the podium?
Yeah, I mean, some of them. Like, I was going records, I usually know.
Okay.
But not, like, the little facts like that. Like, I didn't even know I was the 5th ever. I didn't know I was the youngest. So, yeah, you're mostly going for numbers, and then everything after that, it just falls into place.
So let's just touch on some of those accomplishments right now. Again, I mentioned how you competed in the 71 kg category at the IWF World Weightlifting Championships out in Thailand. You swept all 3 gold medals. You broke multiple world records. Can you kind of take us through those accomplishments?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, you do 3 of each lift, and I actually went out for my first snatch, the first lift that we do, and I actually missed it. And that's when I was worried, because not because I thought I wasn't going to make a lift, but because I didn't think I was going to have a shot at the junior world record I was going for. So I made my second attempt, and I was in a good position. I was already in a medal position, so I was like, will you guys give me the junior world record, because I really wanted it. So they let me have it, and I went out, and so that last lift I did was a junior world record, a senior and junior American record, and a senior and junior Pan American record. So that was my snatches. For clean and jerks, they weren't as great. I didn't hit a personal record or anything, but the 136 kilogram clean and jerk I ended with was 1 kilo under my competition PR. And it was good enough to make a total, so both the lifts combined to get a PR total. And those were all junior and senior American records and junior and senior Pan American records.
Wow. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
When it comes to the snatch lift, 112 kilograms, that's 246.9 pounds for our listeners out there that can't do math. Also, the clean and jerk lift at 136 kilograms, that's nearly 300 pounds. Amazing, amazing stuff. So with all that being said and these records and accomplishments for you, Kate, how close are you to qualifying for the 2020 Olympic Games out in Tokyo?
So we're getting pretty close. So there's 3 periods of qualification spanning 18 months before the Olympics. The second period just finished. So basically your qualification score consists of 4 totals. So 4 competition scores, I guess you can call them. And I have 3 right now. So I only have 1 more to go in the last period, because it needs to be in each period. And so, yeah, I just have one or two more competitions to lock in that last score. And right now I'm ranked number one in America to make the team. So as long as I do as good as I have been in the past few competitions, then it should be pretty close. So I'm really excited and honored to be, you know, in contention for the Olympic team. So as long as the next couple competitions go well, it should be me at Tokyo, hopefully.
Well, I if I was a betting man, I would bet on that right now. But those two competitions you have left, when are they, Kate?
I'm going to Argentina in December for the Ibero-American Championships. It's not a huge meet, but it's just an Olympic qualifier that we chose to go to. And then I think I'm going to compete in actually Columbus, Ohio, in February or March or something like that at the Arnold Fitness Festival or whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think those will be my next two. And if I have to, I'll go to the Pan American Championships, which is the last big Olympic qualifier in April. But we're hoping to not go so that we can focus on the Olympics instead.
Right. You know, knock out the accomplishment of going to the Olympics so you can just focus on that. That would be pretty awesome. All right, Kate, I've got two more questions for you, Kate, before we get you out of here. I know you're so busy, and we thank you so much for your time today. But I want to dive into this because this is interesting too, Kate. You know, when I look at your Instagram, if you want to follow Kate on Instagram, it's Catherine with two E's, Nye, N-Y-E. And you have about like 84K. I need to step my game up. 84K followers right now. And it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Looking at the traction you have within the sport now, how does one cultivate a living in weightlifting? Has the sport become that big now? And is this your one and only job? Is this what you do?
Yeah, I mean, I weightlift full time. I'm actually taking some time off school now so I can focus on it. But mostly, I don't know, you get stipends from USA Weightlifting. USA Weightlifting actually has the best athlete support program in all of USA, which is actually interesting because, you know, I don't think you'd think weightlifting would have the funds for it. But the thing about them is they, instead of spending money on, you know, big venues and stuff like that, they just funnel it right towards us. Which is really good. So I have a really decent stipend from USA Weightlifting. They really take care of me. In addition to that, I probably have about 7 sponsors who also pay me. So, yeah, I've made this a full-time job. And I do work as a physical therapy technician. But that's just because I like it, to be honest. And I also like the experience because I want to go to medical school one day. So it's a resume builder as well.
Awesome.
So, yeah, that's basically it.
That's really cool stuff. So on your Instagram, when it comes to those other sponsors, I think on some of the posts, you're sitting there and you're like, you know, pubbing products on your Instagram, right?
Yeah. Mostly like clothes and stuff, but mm-hmm. It's actually really cool. Like, I really do believe in the, you know, people that sponsor me. So, yeah.
Definitely. Awesome stuff. All right, and final question to Kate, because, you know, I've had other weightlifting professionals on my show, probably none as big as you, though, who is probably going to go to Tokyo for the Olympics. All right, I don't want to jinx you, but I'm just saying. it's always interesting to talk about some of the stereotypes, especially when it comes to female weightlifters competing on this level. Are you trying to break any stereotypes when it comes to the sport of female weightlifting? The biggest example being that whole perceived absence of femininity when it comes to females who do weightlift. Are you trying to break down any of those stereotypes, particularly that one?
Of course. You know, as a strength athlete, you know, being female, I mean, I feel like people have the perception that, you know, we're so bulky and we're taking steroids or whatever, which just isn't the case, you know. You can still look and feel feminine as a weightlifter and be strong and be capable of these amazing things. So I think just being an athlete and being part of this community, your duty is to share that it is good to have a barbell in your hands, and there's nothing wrong with that. So I definitely try to encourage both women and young girls to try weightlifting because it is so good for you. And there's so many benefits to doing it, and it makes you feel good too. There's very few people that have tried weightlifting. I mean, just in general, because Olympic weightlifting is, you know, a sport and it's very difficult. But, you know, weightlifting in general, I feel like people usually don't regret, you know, trying that out. So there's no harm in it, and it's great for you. And, you know, I definitely want to teach people about what it means to be a weightlifter and that it doesn't make you manly or whatever, you know.
Certainly. Well, you're doing that and then so much more. And Kate, hopefully when that news does come across the headlines that you have qualified for the Olympics, hopefully we can get you back on the show to talk about that accomplishment, all right?
Thank you, hopefully.
All right. Again, Kate Nye, the youngest American woman to be world champion in weightlifting. Kate, good luck to you, and thank you so much again for your time.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. How awesome was that, Jack? That's pretty amazing stuff. And Kate is so right. I've been on my weightlifting journey, Jack, for about like 3 years now. You know, I went from like 140 soaking wet to now like 180. It's amazing. And you just feel better. I was in the gym yesterday, man. It's an amazing, amazing thing. But that stereotype does exist when it comes to female weightlifters, like, oh, you're too manly, you're too bulky. And, you know, some people believe it takes away from your femininity, which is so stupid to me. It's so ignorant, I should say. That's the better word for it. Kate, you know, breaking down these barriers is really cool.
No, it's crazy what she does. And I mean, speaking for me personally, I've been working out for about 6 years now, and I've gone from about 170 pounds to about 215 now. And still, like, the stuff that she was talking about, what she does to train, is absolutely crazy to me. I go to the gym for about an hour, 4 to 5 times a week, and I lift heavy things, and then I put them back down. And I eat pretty healthy, too. But, I mean, the way she works out, talking about two-a-days and stuff like that, that's crazy. That's an inspiration to me, man.
Isn't it crazy?
It's crazy.
I mean, 6 days a week, 1 day for recovery. She has 2 two-a-days, and no sessions that she's talking about, each session lasting about 3 hours. So 6 hours when you're doing two-a-days, that's insane stuff. So congrats to Kate Nye. Hopefully, again, we're seeing her out in Tokyo compete in the Olympic Games. All right, final break. When we come back, we'll briefly touch on, that's what happens when you have a Friday feature. I love it. I love it. Because honestly, we've been talking about Michigan State and Michigan football all week. But we'll give you our thoughts and predictions on Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Michigan and Illinois when we come back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have 4 minutes left in the hour. Just finished up a chat with Kate Nye, the youngest female weightlifter to win a world championship at 20 years old. Pretty amazing stuff. Michigan will be taking on Illinois on the road tomorrow. It's a noon kickoff. Michigan State hitting the road, traveling to Wisconsin to take on the Wisconsin Badgers. Jonathan Taylor and company. Because we have 4 minutes, we're not going to break down the X's and O's when it comes to this. I guess we can just go straight to our predictions on this matchup, Jack. Michigan State's going to lose, I think. I told you, though, I think it was Monday we had this conversation. I believe this will be a close game, though. I think this is, I can see this game going down to the wire with like 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Wisconsin has the football and puts together a drive to win the game. That defense for Michigan State, that run defense, is so good. I think they'll slow down Jonathan Taylor, but he's still going to get his yards. I think he's still going to hit the century mark. Michigan State wins in a tight one.
You mean Wisconsin wins in a tight one?
Excuse me. Wisconsin wins in a tight one. I'm going, I don't know, 27, 21.
Okay, so MSU covers the 9.5 points then?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Well, I mean, what you just described, if the game's tied with 5 minutes left, I think MSU absolutely needs to win it, because I don't see Wisconsin manufacturing a drive in that time to go down and win when they're predominantly a run team. You know, their quarterback hasn't been asked to do much really all season. But for me, I agree with you, just because, you know, MSU has what we think is a great defense. They haven't looked great the last 2 weeks, I'll tell you that. But, you know, what we think is an elite defense, the problem for me is, going back to Saturday night's game, the amount of mental errors, the amount of dropped passes, you know, fumbling twice on your first four plays. David Dowell at the end of the first half dropping that would-be interception that was basically a punt from Justin Fields. After that performance, there's just no way I can pick them to go to Madison and win this game. So I'm with you. I think Michigan State will cover. I think they'll lose, oh, we'll say 20-10. I'm sorry, 20-14, I guess.
2014? Okay. Yeah. There we go. All right. Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun game to watch, I believe. You know, and we'll see if the Michigan State offense can rebound from last week and not have the turnovers that they had. That's what really hurt Michigan State. Those two turnovers on those first two drives. I mean, come on, man. For Michigan, you know, it's going to be interesting. You think Michigan will face, you know, former quarterback Brandon Peters? You know, Peters, you know, he was, you know, the starting quarterback last week. But he had an upper body injury, though, Jack. He did have an injury last week. So that's going to be interesting to watch, right?
Yeah, I think so, absolutely. And you know what? Papa Kerwin texted me during the show's hour. Mom's out of the building. She is out of town, so he's excited for a full weekend of, you know, college football and not a whole lot else. And, you know, he asked me what was on this week, what some of the great slate games will be. And, you know, I'm hoping his Illini are able to pull this one out over the Wolverines on Saturday. I'm not getting my hopes up, though, and I don't think he is either.
So you're choosing Michigan to win the game at the end of
the
game?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they'll smoke Illinois.
Yeah, I think Michigan's going to win as well. So, all right. Well, we have that 15 seconds left. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this Friday edition of Current Sports. Have a great, great weekend and enjoy some college football and NFL football on Sunday. See you Monday. Be easy, people.